This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When last we saw Roger Goodell, he was sitting in the stands at Arrowhead wearing a mask all by himself, and he was watching the season opener between the Chiefs and the Texans. I do not know which game he attended on Sunday. I'm assuming he did. I wouldn't be surprised if he was at SoFi Stadium and somehow I just missed it, but he's around and he's got his mask and he has got to be really proud of what the NFL has accomplished to get to this point. There's a lot of moving parts here. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people who all have to be pulling in the same direction.
Good evening.
Thousands and thousands of people who have to take care of their business and be accountable and be disciplined. And then you think about these thousands of athletes and coaches and game day personnel who have families or have people that they also have to be responsible for and that also have to be convinced that this is worth doing. And just to get to this point, how many of you thought we wouldn't get to this point? I know, because I heard from you over and over and over again for months, even as recently as last week, people telling me the NFL would never survive. And there's no such thing as a sure thing, not in sports, not in life. But I do believe that not only is the NFL committed to making this work, and has been throwing money at the problem hand over fist, but the athletes themselves are committed to making it work. They've seen what's happened around the rest of the sports world, the pitfalls, the temptations, the stops and starts. They learn from the policies and the procedures of the other sports. They develop their own protocols, and they made it worth the players' while. And on the flip side, they also made sure the players know there is a penalty and a price to pay if you do not take care of your business. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Congratulations to the NFL for getting almost through week number one. We've got a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. We will get to see the Ben Roethlisberger return. I'm excited about this. I don't know how it's going to look. I'm hoping that he's same old Big Ben, a linebacker trapped in a quarterback's body, and that his elbow is healthy and he's able to get out there and chuck and duck just like we've become used to. And of course, with the new and improved Pittsburgh defense, this could be a complete and balanced team. So that's coming up on Monday night. That's the first half of the doubleheader. And then the second half is the Titans, who of course were the sixth seed turned AFC championship contender against the Denver Broncos, who lost Von Miller, drafted a bunch of wide receivers. I have no idea how they're going to look. Actually, though, at some point, maybe we can grab Von Miller's message to the Broncos. This is the first that I have heard of Von Miller. He put a message on social media on Sunday to kind of talk to them about what is going on. He had his surgery on his ankle. So he tore an ankle tendon, not the Achilles, but he tore an ankle tendon. And they have not ruled him out for the rest of the year. But he was trying to encourage the Broncos as they get set for their kickoff in Denver against the Titans. That's coming up the second half of Monday Night Football. So maybe we'll see if we can grab that before the end of the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a couple things going on. The overreactions. What did you see in week number one that makes you believe your team is either going over 16 or is going to win the Super Bowl in, you know, the next 5 days? Pat on Twitter says, overreaction, Bills undefeated, Josh Allen MVP. Josh looked good, except for it was against the Jets. And that has to be taken into account. The AFC East is not the most difficult division in football. I do believe it's wide open and that it could be a really good race between the Patriots and the Bills. And we'll see. It's just 1 week. But Josh Allen definitely did look strong. 3 total touchdowns in the first half against the Jets. Better than 300 yards. He did have a couple of lost fumbles, so a couple of mistakes in there that he lamented after the fact. But the Bills were also able to take advantage of just a brutal offensive start, especially for the Jets. And as the Jets couldn't keep the football, as they couldn't move the football. In fact, their time of possession was barely more than what I was telling you about the Vikings. They had the ball about the same amount of time as the Vikings did. If you don't even have the ball for 19 minutes, it's really difficult to win a game. By the way, the total number of minutes in a game is 60, in case you're wondering. And so Josh Allen and the Bills looked good, though there certainly is room for improvement.
Obviously, I'm happy that we won a game. I'm also happy the way we won it. You know, we had to overcome some adversity. Those 2 fumbles early on, I can't do. You know, I can't put ourselves in a position where we have points and take those points away from us.
So are you a Bills fan overreacting to what you saw against the Jets? Or you are a Jets fan potentially overreacting and thinking that New York could end up going over 16?
I mean, it was about as bad of a start offensively as we could have had. Didn't do anything when the defense did a good job getting a turnover. Complimentary football was non-existent, you know, throughout most of the game.
Adam Gase clearly not pleased. Le'Veon Bell might be injured, and they only managed 254 total yards. So are you overreacting, Jets fans, Bills fans, fans all over the country? I love hearing from you. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and some of you actually submitting Josh Allen as your Monday MVP. You can do that on Twitter as well, or you can vote for the guys that we've got up. And on our Facebook page, lots of traffic, which is great. I always enjoy hearing from you when it's about the football, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. There is still so much that I want to get to while we're talking about the East. So we just mentioned the Bills and the Jets. How about a game in the NFC East? And this one, stunning. I got to tell you, I'm not sure how many of you picked Philadelphia in the Survivor Pool. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Sometimes I didn't take my own advice, but I tell people to shy away from division battles because often the division rivalries bring out the best in your opponent. Teams really get up for these games because they know how familiar, or they know how important they are, but also familiarity breeds contempt. When they know one another, you tend to have a little extra edge in the game. And so I didn't take my own advice, and I am out because I picked San Francisco. I didn't want to pick San Francisco. I didn't like San Francisco, and I picked them anyway. Duh. So back to Washington, Philadelphia, so I don't belabor how bad I am at Survivor Pools. The Eagles race out to a 17-0 lead. Okay, so Philadelphia is up. People are calling for Dwayne Haskins to get replaced. whether it's Case Keenum, I'm really hoping Alex Smith sees the field. But Dwayne Haskins, rough. Now, it's his first game in the Ron Rivera offense. It's his first game with new coaches, a new system, so maybe understandable. But the Eagles look good. Carson Wentz in stride. The Eagles race out to a 3-score lead in the second quarter. And then there is a Carson Wentz interception. And that is the turning point. It sounds weird to say a turning point in the second quarter, but in fact it was. So that interception gives the ball back to Washington, and Haskins throws his first touchdown pass. Okay, so at this point, the Eagles are still up by 10. But do you know that interception started a string of 10 empty possessions by Philadelphia? I'm not kidding you. They never scored again. 10 empty possessions after that first interception by Carson Wentz. Meanwhile, Washington goes on a scoring tear.
3rd and 3 at the 6-yard line for Washington. McKissick's in the backfield. Haskins is in the gun. Big moment here, first half. 17-0 Philadelphia. Haskins looking into the end zone. Wide
yes!
open. Logan Thomas. Touchdown.
So that's the first of the Dwayne Haskins touchdowns. Well, the first of the touchdown drives. He gets out there, and he looks like a completely different quarterback after that. On the Redskins radio network, you get the beginning, the turning point. What was 27 unanswered points for Washington? Really impressive. It wasn't perfect, but it was a complete performance. The offense taking care of its business, and the defense, 8 total sacks. Carson Wentz was under siege and running for his life.
It definitely didn't make me skittish. You know, some of those things I got to clean up. You know, might have had open guys that I could get rid of the ball quicker. But it definitely didn't make me skittish. It didn't, you know, affect my accuracy. I got to clean up some things, miss some throws. Those things happen, but got to be better. I don't blame it on being skittish or anything like that.
He may not have been skittish, but he's not telling the truth when he says the pressure doesn't affect his throws. Of course it does. When a guy is coming right at you, you flinch. But not just that. When a guy is coming right at you and you have to throw over, around, or underneath him, of course it affects your throws. So Carson ends up 24 of 42. Couple of touchdowns, but also a couple of interceptions. And I'm not kidding you, 8 total sacks by the Washington football team. And do you know what? 15 QB hits on top of that. They got a hand or a fist or a face or a toe on Carson Wentz 23 times. 23 times. It was painful to watch if you're an Eagles fan. Yes, Carson made mistakes, and some of those he can clean up. He looked really good early on in finding his tight ends. So Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. In fact, Dallas was over 100 yards. But credit goes to the Washington defense. And also to Haskins and the offense. Again, his numbers are not great. He just has the 1 touchdown pass. But they were able to take advantage of the opportunities and score 27 unanswered points, including 13 in the fourth quarter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ron Rivera taking on this challenge of teaching and training young Haskins.
Based on the way he responded after the first quarter, you know, taking what they gave, making plays when he had to, really showed his resilience and just the fact that he's starting to feel more and more comfortable as our starting quarterback. I was very proud of him.
You may not have heard this, but Ron Rivera had a planned IV during halftime, which he took so that he could be out there on the sidelines, stand up and coach the rest of the game. So it's planned because of the treatment that he's going through for his cancer now. They worry about his weakness. They worry about his stamina. And so he took fluids at halftime. He had an IV. And then he was able to be out there on the sidelines for the entire second half. There's so much that I like about Ron Rivera throwing this into the mix, the type of adversity that he faces, and yet his determination, his perseverance, his refusal to make excuses. What about the tone that sets for his locker room? It's accountability. It's discipline. It's professionalism. It's impressive when you're trying to change a culture. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. As I say, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. How are you overreacting? It's kind of funny to see some of the overreactions to Tom Brady in his first game with Tampa Bay. And it wasn't smooth sailing the entire time for Drew Brees either. If you haven't seen the numbers, there were some pretty costly turnovers, including a pick six by Tom Brady. So 17 Saints points off the Buccaneers turnovers. Brady has a couple of picks, three sacks, but Drew Brees only passed for 160 yards. He did have a couple of touchdowns in there. I don't know whether or not the hype was greater than seeing these two guys on the field in the same place to start 2020. It was pretty cool to see them. And if you were watching warmups or if you had access to NFL Network, NFL Network was kind of flashing back and forth to the Superdome. There was this one moment in pregame where a ball was thrown to Brady and it went through his hands. So it ended up skidding through his hands and it goes into the Saints formation. So the Saints and the Bucs are essentially back to back as they're warming up. Each team has half of the field. And so Brady has to kind of walk into the Saints formation or toward it to get his ball back. And as he's turning around and going back toward his own teammates, the camera angle catches Drew Brees in the background. So they exchange these brief pleasantries. And then you realize the guys are standing not even 20 yards apart. I mean, they're literally right on top of each other as they're warming up. So it's kind of a cool dynamic. And as much as they are just two guys, you know, on two really large teams, they're not on the field at the same time, of course, it's not lost on Drew Brees what it means to have Brady there in the Superdome and in the same NFC South division.
Listen, of course it's significant and it's unique. And I'd be lying to you if I said it didn't mean, you know, a little bit more. Obviously I've got, you know, so much love and respect for him and what he's been able to accomplish and obviously his journey and really both of our journeys. You know, we played against each other in college, for goodness sakes, 1999.
4 decades. We're into decade number 4 of Brees and Brady on the field at the same time, if you consider college when Brees was at Purdue and Brady was at Michigan. There's still a ton that I want to get to, okay? So we have not even talked about the Niners losing to Arizona. It's certainly a little bit of a cause for concern for the Niners, but as I say about division opponents, I worry less because those are always kind of blood matchups, blood rivalries, and we knew the NFC West was going to be one of the most difficult divisions, if not the most stacked division in the NFL. So there's some need to worry a little bit. The top two wide receivers for the Niners getting injured, they really didn't have viable options at wide receiver, and so that limited the offense a ton. And how about the fact that the defense gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points and a lot of plays to Kyler Murray? But if you are a fan of DeAndre Hopkins, this was a game for you. The Cardinals used him to perfection right out of the gate. And so we will talk about that stunner in the NFC West, as well as the Las Vegas Raiders starting out with their first win in their new look franchise history.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Kyler Murray under center, takes play action, rolling right, dumps it off to the right to Edmonds, caught at the 10 to the 5, heading for the pylon, stuck the ball out, hit the pylon, and it's a touchdown! It's a touchdown for Chase Edmonds, the first score of 2020 for the Cardinals. Shotgun formation, snap to Murray, in trouble, steps up and runs to his right of the 20, cuts back to the left of the 10, breaks a tackle to the 5, running right for the end zone, touchdown! Kyler Murray with a touchdown run. Arizona has the lead in San Francisco.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
The scoreless third quarter between the Cardinals and the Niners set us up. And in fact, it set up three lead changes in the fourth quarter on three consecutive drives. A couple of Kyler Murray touchdowns, one on the ground, one through the air with Dave Pasch on the Cardinals radio network. So again, no points in the third quarter, only to see this free-for-all, this crazy back and forth in the fourth quarter between the Cardinals and the Niners. This one taking place at an empty Levi's Stadium. And I'm glad they were able to play, considering the air quality in the Bay Area is suspect, and it's been difficult, smoky, and if you know people that live in the Bay Area or you live there yourself, maybe you've talked to them. My uncle is about 40 miles away from the closest evacuation zone, and he says he goes out to take walks, and on some days when it's particularly bad, his eyes and his nose are stinging from the air quality, and so it's really difficult right now for a lot of people to be outside in the Bay Area, in Southern California, in Oregon, in Washington. And so I'm glad they were able to play. That was a positive because it was a daytime or game day decision, excuse me. So they get into the fourth quarter, and Kyler Murray, who you knew from last season, could handle the pressure. He's got poise. He's got calm. He makes good decisions. He doesn't turn the ball over, and his height is no longer a factor. He is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL for a long time, as long as he remains healthy. And so he engineers this 94-yard drive, and it ends with his 22-yard touchdown scamper, one of which you just heard there on the Cardinals radio network. The Niners answer right back, but they're operating without their top two wide receivers. Raheem Mostert had a really strong first half, and then they're without George Kittle. So Mostert gets a lot of the attention. Kittle, I think, tweaked a groin is what we were hearing. But after that, while he was on the field, he was never targeted again. And so Jimmy Garoppolo was extremely limited in what he could do with his weapons, with his targets. Late in the game, he bounces a ball off the helmet of a defensive back. So there were some mistakes all around. But also the fact that you lose a couple of wide receivers and George Kittle is mostly out there as a decoy, that affected the end as well. But you know what? The Niners wide receivers, Jimmy Garoppolo, they don't play defense. And Kyler Murray was able to get two touchdown drives on two consecutive possessions against that Niners defense, that vaunted Niners defense that last year gave the offense a cushion that covered up the sins of the offense. And so it was a stunning game to me because of that. In the fourth quarter on back-to-back drives, Murray and the Cardinals were able to move the ball relatively easily. Now, I will say they were given the benefit of a phantom roughing the passer penalty. It was gross. It was gross. Murray's already down. The defender dives over him, and I'm not even sure made contact. But the flag was thrown for roughing the passer. Now, you got to deal with those in today's NFL, but it was icky. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Niners defense gets carved up by Murray in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Arizona defense has to step up to the challenge in the final minute.
Fourth and five for the Niners on the 16 of the Cardinals. Garoppolo to pass. Throws to the right side. Incomplete. Murphy steps in front of the receiver and knocks the ball down. The Cardinals take over on downs with 33 seconds to go, leading San Francisco 24-20.
Once again, Dave Pasch on the Cardinals radio network. The stop on fourth and five to preserve the win. Kyler Murray is a load. He is getting better, and kind of his arc reminds me of Lamar Jackson's. No, I'm not saying Murray's going to be an MVP, but at the beginning of 2019, we didn't know Lamar was going to be an MVP as well. Kyler Murray is smart, and you can see him process and get better every game. He makes good decisions, and he's got all the tools. And I love the fact that nobody is talking about his height anymore. Certainly, that's not what Kyle Shanahan was talking about after the game.
He's a hell of a player. I thought we did a good job for the most part containing him, but they had a couple third downs that just kept going, a couple second and longs. and we didn't make them pay on the other side of the ball to get more points, keep it away from them.
You know what helps? DeAndre Hopkins. 14 catches, 151 yards. He freaking changes the game. We've been talking about this all of the offseason. I don't care how many times you tell me Bill O'Brien was trying to save money and put all the pieces together and had to pay Deshaun Watson, blah, 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 blah. You do not trade away one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. You don't do it. It's not like they're out there on every field all the time. This is DeAndre Hopkins. 14 catches, 151 yards in his debut with the Arizona Cardinals. I wonder what else he's got up his sleeve.
Yeah, he's a tremendous talent. I mean, for him to, you know, get his deal done and dive in like that, I think he and Kyler are just going to continue to build a relationship and get on the same page with some stuff. But he's a playmaker. He wants the ball. He wants to win first and foremost, and you sense that on the sideline. And it's fun to be around. It's fun for our guys to see that type of passion and that type of effort.
You think Cliff Kingsbury is thrilled to have him on his roster? You think he wants him to be a Cardinal for life? I don't know that Kingsbury is going to be a Cardinal for life, but you get my drift. So Murray, 14 times connected with Hopkins, including the throw right before Kenyon Drake's go-ahead touchdown with about 5 minutes to play. Twice in the fourth quarter, the Cardinals had to rally from a deficit. This was impressive. I feel like the Cardinals grew up in this game. And yes, they're always going to give their division opponents difficulties. We saw that all of last season. They were a tough out. But this is the Niners game at home, and their defense couldn't hold. And that's the part that stood out to me. It wasn't so much the offense. It was that the defense couldn't hold. Meanwhile, Levi Stadium empty. Did that contribute to the lack of success for the home team?
Obviously, it was a little different today without the crowd. Just that feel, that game day feel, it just wasn't there. But, you know, it just comes down to execution, like I said, especially when it comes in the last couple minutes like that. Every play's crucial, every yard's crucial, and just we didn't execute when we needed to.
Jimmy Garoppolo, referring to the atmosphere that was a bit deflated. Sorry, I know he's a former Patriot. But do you know his former Patriot teammate, Tom Brady, actually described the atmosphere in the Superdome like it was a scrimmage? So you've got him calling the atmosphere more scrimmage-like, and then you have Cam Jordan of the Saints. Did you guys see this? I wish we had this audio. Maybe we'll find it at some point. It's probably out there on social media. Cam Jordan was asked what it was like to play in an empty Superdome, and he said it was like playing in Tampa Bay. That's a cheap shot after you just beat your division opponent. But yeah, that was kind of funny. So all around the league, guys are reacting to playing without fans. Jacksonville did have fans, and Jacksonville and Minshew mania also overshadowed the Phillip Rivers debut with the Indianapolis Colts, which we will get to coming up. And then I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Some of you wanted to weigh in with your overreactions, and you can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page. Lots of responses on both Twitter and Facebook, so I promise I'm going to get to those.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Under center is Minshew. Robinson, the running back. Play fake. Minshew looks. Fires. Corner of the end zone. Wide open. Keelan Cole's going to walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And the Jags have taken the lead with 5:56 to play in the ball game.
I think one of the things that served us well today is that we all have so much belief in each other. You know, whether it's me and them or them and me. I think when you have that, you can trust people to do their jobs. And, you know, everybody can focus on their own. And I'm really proud of how we played. I really think that, you know, we're just scratching the surface.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one, Gardner Minshew, who orchestrated some Minshew magic, or as I prefer some Minshew mania and spoiled Phillip Rivers' debut with the Indianapolis Colts. Not that the Jaguars don't have success against the Colts, because they have in their recent history. So Minshew steals the show, but only after a scoreless first quarter. Yeah, it was a little bleak early on for the Jaguars. But after that, once Minshew locked in, he missed one pass. Gardner finished up 19 of 20. Now, not great numbers, 173 yards, three touchdowns, though, and no turnovers, which is exactly what they need from him. They also got help with Phillip Rivers' turnovers. So 10 points off Rivers' interceptions. There was a fourth quarter field goal, too, that was particularly painful. And so Rivers finishes up with a lot of yards, 363 yards, a touchdown, but a couple of interceptions. And while they're racking up the yards and the Colts are going up and down the field, so it's a bend but not break for the Jaguars, they only managed 3 points. So the Colts go essentially from the 20 to the 20 to the 20 to the 20. They're just back and forth, up and down the field. But they can only manage a field goal in the fourth quarter. And by that time, the Jaguars had taken the lead and were not giving it up. And so what did we see from Phillip Rivers in his Colts debut? Well, what we normally see from Phillip Rivers. I call him a poor man's Brett Favre. He's a gunslinger. He's got an arm. He obviously is among the most prolific passers that the NFL has ever seen. In fact, he continues to move up the charts in terms of touchdowns and yards. He's an Iron Man for the most part. And he's got a new opportunity here in his career. However, the interceptions come with they come with Phillip Rivers. They're part of the package.
Collectively, as a group, we just put our head down and go. I mean, again, it's a frustrated locker room because we expected to win the game, but it's also a very motivated and looking forward locker room that we know what we're capable of.
It is only week one, but there is a tendency to overreact. Honestly, I didn't think the football was as sloppy across the board as what I expected with no preseason. There were some stretches where you might have forgotten they didn't have preseason games, but there were also a lot of teams that couldn't do it for a full four quarters. So you would have stretches of rhythm, and then you would have stretches of just dysfunction offensively, and that really it was inconsistency. But that's always the case in the first month in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, we're asking you to vote for Monday MVP, and you can also tell us how you are tempted to overreact after week number one. We're getting a ton of your comments on Facebook, which is great, because on Facebook, you all tend to have a very sarcastic and smarmy sense of humor. Now, I do appreciate that we're talking all football today, too, which is cool. Finally, it feels like that's not been the case for a really long time. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. Visit geico.com to learn more. Las Vegas Raiders get their first win since the move. And in that same division, there's a message from one injured Von Miller. So we'll get to that before the top of the hour. But I want to take a couple calls here. Walter is in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Oh, hello, Amy. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. I'm happy. My Washington team is in first place.
Yes. Yes, it is.
They gave me a big birthday present for winning that game to me.
Oh, and, awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going on the line to tell you this. The Redskins is going to be the most sacked team in this league. They're going to sack a lot of quarterbacks.
What did you say? They're going to be the most sacked team? Or
sack
the
team.
Yeah, no, no. Well, that would be the opposite. That would be Dwayne Haskins getting sacked.
No. We going to sack a lot of quarterbacks this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And tell Colin Murray, we coming after him next week.
Ooh, he's hard to sack, man. He's really difficult to sack.
Oh, when the Redskins defense get to him, he'll give in.
I have no idea this team of which you speak.
I'm sorry. I keep calling them the Redskins.
No, I know. Old habits die hard.
I just turned 68. I've been going to Redskins games for 50 years. Hmm. And I'm not used to saying that they're not the Redskins.
I got you. I mean, I still call the Chargers San Diego every now and then. So.
Yeah. But what do you think our record will be this year, the Redskins?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea. Are you kidding me? This is week number one. That's an overreaction. But I do think that the NFC East could be won by a team going 8-8 or 9-7 again.
Oh, God. Not again.
Yeah. No, again. That's what this division is all about. Mediocrity. And it's a soap opera.
Oh, yeah. You're right. And also tell the Dallas quarterback, we coming after him this year.
Okay, I'm sure he's listening to you right now.
All right. Well, take it easy, Amy. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Walter. Nice to talk to you.
Yo, same here. Okay.
Let's talk to Amos, who's in Tennessee. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hello. My overreaction is that the Falcons are going to be getting smoked like they have been, like we saw today. I think we saw inexperience in softness on the perimeters, and we got beat.
Softness. We blew a couple I like
coverages.
That.
And
it's like a kitten.
Yeah, I mean, DK Metcalf just absolutely threw around AJ Terrell, and I mean, you know, it's a good learning experience, and it stinks to watch Matt Ryan have to play from behind. Which, by the way, congratulations to him. He surpassed John Elway
yes.
for ninth on the all-time passing yard. So congratulations to him. He's definitely earned it. But it's not the way, you know, you want to see him get it. You want to see consistency running the football.
And yeah, I'm sure he would trade that. I'm sure he'd trade that for the win or for a chance to get back to the playoffs.
Sure. And when you have to throw and come from behind, Todd Gurley only had 4 rushes for 5 yards as compared to having 45 yards in the first half, and that's not how you want to play. And the Seahawks threw the Falcons off their system, and that defense has got a lot to learn, and they got to grow up quick because you can't see that every week.
Well, so there were some positives. I mean, you talk about Matt Ryan and having to throw, but that's what Matt Ryan does best. And yes, Todd Gurley will get more usage, but when you're behind, of course, you can throw. But they did it well. I mean, you know, they racked up over 500 yards of offense. Both Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones were over the 100-yard mark. They were nearly perfect in the red zone. They did have a couple of turnovers, which hurt them. But by far, their offensive numbers were gaudier than the Seahawks. The issue, of course, is the defense, as you point out. And they also didn't get a fourth down conversion. So when the Seahawks defense had to, it stood up. But yeah, I mean, there's got to be some balance there. And this was the issue with the Falcons last year to start the first half of 2019. Their offense was clicking, and yet the defense couldn't stop my 98-year-old grandmother. Then the defense played so much better in the second half and saved Dan Quinn's job. And so we'll see. We'll see what this first month looks like. But yeah, there are a lot of eyes on that defense because Dan Quinn is on the hot seat. He's been there for a couple of years now.
And he prides himself on being a defensive coach, but you can't have a quarterback throwing 31 of 35 for 322 yards.
It is Russell Wilson.
No excuse. They've contained Russell Wilson before in both playoff games and at home. I mean, and the D-line played well. I want to brag on the D-line. And the linebackers. I mean, they pursued the ball. It's just the overall effort by the secondary.
Yeah,
maybe effort, maybe inexperience.
I would say inexperience. Yeah, for sure. I don't think it's about the effort. I think these guys all want to win, and certainly when you're at home, even if there are no fans, you know you have to win those games. So I get it. This is a really tough opponent. 9 different targets for Russell Wilson, and so he had a lot of places where he could spread out the ball, and he looked really good. He could be, once again, an MVP candidate. But I would agree with you about the Falcons' defense. They got to show up. So, Amos, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for having me.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Teddy Bridgewater making his first start for the Carolina Panthers. And he had a really impressive moment late in the game against the Raiders.
Anderson, the motion man, just casual motion to the near side, flexes out into the flat. Now it's the up and go with the flag down. Anderson makes the catch, may score. 40-30 to the 20 down the right sideline. It is a touchdown, Robbie Anderson.
75 yards. That's Mick Mixon, who's a frequent guest here on After Hours. Teddy Bridgewater finding some room to throw, and of course getting the help of Christian McCaffrey, who had a pair of rushing touchdowns and 134 total yards. But there's a reason why Josh Jacobs is one of our candidates for Monday MVP.
Bring the play clock down inside of 10. We'll snap it at about 4:15 left on the game clock. Here's Jacobs, right side, 5-yard line, end zone, touchdown.
We cut it off. But Brent Musburger on the Raiders radio network, third touchdown for Josh Jacobs. And they really didn't have an answer for him. 93 rushing yards, and that go-ahead score was the third. And he's another one of those guys who was kind of pointing internally when talking about energy and adrenaline in the place of fans.
It was definitely different not playing with fans, but as a team and as a unit, we kind of brought that juice to each other. We fed off each other. And I mean, it's obviously big to get a win in for the first year that we're here with Las Vegas. And not only that, but just also for Oakland, too, just setting it off for them and just letting them know that we're still here and we still want to win.
So Las Vegas scores early, 3 on its 4 first half drives. But then Carolina is able to grab that fourth quarter lead with the touchdown shot from Teddy to Robbie Anderson. But the Raiders respond. And what did Derek Carr tell us? He said that he's got a lot to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and that's why he's playing football this year. Well, 9-play, 75-yard drive, and the go-ahead score with Jacobs as the Raiders get their first victory. It's on the road, and it's against the Carolina Panthers. And so Carr with some pretty efficient numbers, 22 of 30, 239 yards. He has the one touchdown. And most importantly is the win, of course, but also to not turn the ball over for Derek Carr and to, if you have to, be a game manager. Don't get outside of yourself. Use your run game. Anytime you can get better than 100 yards rushing as a team, you're doing something right. And to be able to contain Christian McCaffrey so he doesn't have over 100 yards rushing is also a minor victory. So the Raiders are at 1-0. The Chiefs are at 1-0. The Denver Broncos will play coming up on Monday night. And Von Miller has a message for Broncos fans and football fans. You'll hear it coming up next hour. Plus, the Rams start out with a victory over the Cowboys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.